Turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Let's begin reading with verse 35, and we'll read down to verse 42. This is early then in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is how men are beginning to find him and come to him, and how he's beginning to assemble his disciples. John chapter 1, verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples. This is John the Baptist. The next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now notice at the beginning of verse 42, the first sentence, and he brought him to Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, it's very vital today that your Holy Spirit work amongst us. Vital that your Holy Spirit would fill me. Lord, if there's any impediment now that would cause your Spirit to not desire to fill this vessel, or that would prevent in some way the Holy Spirit from filling this vessel, I pray even now, Father, you would make that known where I could put that before you and have it washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and sanctified by your presence. Father, we want no restraint, not in this life, to the work of your Holy Spirit. We pray for your word to be preached in such a way, Father, that the power of the word is evident to those that hear it. Whether they ever remember the messenger is inconsequential. The best for them would be to remember what you've said and not who said it. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will accomplish that today. And I also pray for these that are here that you would fill all of us with your Holy Spirit, allowing the word of God to pierce through our ears and into our minds and down into our spirits. I pray, Father, that our hearts are very receptive to your words today. And I pray, Lord, that we will be like James said, doers of the word and not hearers only. For we ask you to do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You know, when you see this passage of Scripture here, you see that John had his own ministry. He preceded Jesus Christ in the ministry. And he had disciples that were following him, and the purpose of his baptism was to manifest Jesus Christ to Israel. That's why he was doing this. And so as he was doing the baptizing and manifesting Jesus Christ to Israel, that they would know him, some of his disciples began to take interest in Jesus Christ and began to follow him, which was the right thing. John even said, I must decrease, he must increase. And so that's what's taking place here. And a couple of men that were following John went over and found Jesus Christ and realized that he was the Messiah and began to follow him. And one of those men was Andrew. Andrew was Peter's brother. And so the Bible tells us in verse 41 that after he found the Messiah, he went and got Peter and said, We found the Messiah. And so he wants to take Peter to Jesus Christ. And that's what 42 says. John 1:42 said, very simply, he brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. You know, and today our prayer is that the Lord will use these words and apply them in our lives. I realize the message you're going to hear today is very simple. I like simple messages. They're easier to preach and they're easier to digest. I like simple messages because they're doable, and James did say, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. I've heard some men preach, and they're excellent preachers, but the message is so complicated, I wasn't sure I understood it in the first place and wouldn't have known what to do with it. when I finished hearing it. And I got to have something that I can do that I can even do by baby steps. And quite frankly, there's nobody in here today that's so mature as a Christian that this message is beneath them. And there's no person here today that is so young as a Christian that this message is over your head. This is something that really fits every single one of us and fits us very, very well. And that's this. He brought him to Jesus. That's a very simple thing. He brought him to Jesus. You know, next week really is a time when some people go to church that don't go other times of the year. I met somebody at the funeral yesterday and we were talking about that very thing. He said, I guess you'll have a lot of people on Easter. And I said, we probably will. We usually do. We get the CEOs. And he said, CEOs? I said, yeah, that's the Christmas and Easter only. He laughed. He said, I'm the president of that club. I said, I'll see you Sunday. See you Sunday. But you know, some of us that are in here today, we're CEOs and we got saved. And when we did, the Lord changed us. And now we're faithful members of the church and we're growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That all starts somewhere. So today we're going to talk about this very thing. He brought him to Jesus. You know that today, here it is nearly 2,000 years later, and Jesus Christ could say the same thing about you that the Bible says about Andrew. He brought him to Jesus. She brought him to Jesus. You say, how would we do that? One of the very simple ways with what's facing us next week is inviting a friend of yours to come to church with you. You know people that don't know Jesus Christ, and they need somebody to bring them to Jesus. And you can do that. It's a matter of asking. As I said in Sunday school this morning, I already know some of you have people that are going to be with you next week in church who said they would come and they appreciated the invitation. And some of those will. Some have told you that so you won't ask them again and they won't see you here. But for the most part, some who say yes and I would be looking forward to that will be here. We've seen people saved on that particular Sunday nearly every year since we've been here in our 16 years of existence. And that's a wonderful thing. The singing is oriented to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The preaching is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit works in a very special way. You see, inviting your friends to church, first of all, helps you to fulfill God's purpose. You know, we are to be witnesses. But on an individual basis, that can be a challenge. And we know that because we've had various ministries that we've done in the church that have lasted for a period of time, like going to a parade route and passing out tracts, going into a neighborhood and passing out tracts to people that live in the neighborhood. And you know, sometimes when we do that, I'm amazed there'll be people that come back from a simple exercise like that and they'll say to me, wow, that was the most exhilarating thing I've ever done for Christ. Wow, I was so afraid that this was going to be a horrible experience and I can't tell you how much fun I had. Let me have some more tracts I'd like to. And I'm thinking, really? But you know what happens, and I forget, is that when you've done this so long in the ministry, you forget that the first time somebody else does this, it is exhilarating and it is challenging and it is fearful and all those other things that happen. And so inviting your friends to church is just as ordinary as inviting them to go to lunch with you. It's not a strange thing, not hard to do. And particularly on Easter Sunday, because there are people that are looking for some place to go to church oftentimes and they would appreciate the invitation. And so, you know, when you think about it, Jesus Christ left us here for a purpose. I mean, if there's no purpose in our lives after we get saved, then why not just get saved and go to heaven? Paul said, to die is gain. And I'll tell you, I'm ready. That really fulfills God's purpose for leaving us here. It's so that we can have an influence on others for the sake of bringing them to Christ. I look around here and I am sure that there is somebody else that you know that doesn't know Jesus Christ, but they know that you know Jesus Christ. I'm sure of that. And I'm sure, there are a number of you who have friends that know you know Jesus Christ, appreciate the fact that you pray for them. Even though they might argue with you a little bit about how you believe in Jesus Christ. I think they appreciate that. When we were at visitation on Friday night before the funeral, some of our former neighbors for whom we pray, two of them came to me and one said about the other, "You really need to pray for her." And I said, "I do. I have been. But what's the specific problem?" She says, she's been diagnosed with cancer. She's had surgery and now she's going to have chemotherapy. She's going to have radiation and that's going to be a long ordeal. I said, "Well, when I'm praying for you, I'll add that to you." And she looked at me and when I told her that I've been praying for her, she really appreciated that. At first, trying to talk to them about the Lord, about the gospel, they'd blow that off. But now there's a need. Now there's a reason. Now there's a desire for comfort and assurance. When you have the opportunity to influence somebody else for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, you are fulfilling God's purpose in their lives. We should be an influence in our neighborhood. We should be an influence among our co-workers. We should be an influence among our friends for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. They should know that we know Jesus and that we can help them come to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And one of the simplest ways to do that is to simply tell a friend of yours, "You know something? Why don't you come to church with me this coming Sunday?" It really is, and that's the second thing I'll say, it really is a great way. It is really one of the best ways for a person to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll show you something. Watch this. How many of you were saved after the preaching of the gospel in a church service? Raise your hand. Now just hold them up for a second and look around here. The great majority of the people that are here that are saved were saved following the preaching of the gospel. Now I realize that we are to be individual witnesses, and I love to do that. That's not something that that everybody loves to do because it is a little bit of a daunting thing and a little bit of a challenge sometimes. But I'll tell you, it is really fun to see people hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved. But the Bible says that God fixed it this way, that through the foolishness of preaching, that he would save those that believe. Through the foolishness of preaching. In Romans chapter 10, he said, "How shall they hear without a preacher?" In a church service, the Holy Spirit works in a very unique way because there are so many people that have been praying for the service, so many people praying before the service this morning. At 9:15, there were women gathered in Randy's office. At 9:15, there were men gathered in my office and praying for the singing and praying for the teaching of the Word of God during Sunday school, praying for the preaching of things that are going on right now, praying specifically for the names of some of our neighbors about whom we're burdened, like Andrew was about his brother. And you know something, the Holy Spirit responds to those kinds of prayers and moves with great liberty in a congregation like this with the singing that exalts the Lord Jesus Christ and the words that speak about the cross and what it was accomplished in our lives through the cross. What a tremendous thing. Through the congregational singing, you know, singing about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and victory in Jesus. The Holy Spirit affects the lives of people that hear those things. You come in here and, you know, what I notice is that people, they see each other and they greet each other. There is a joy that takes place in here that's unlike the back slapping and cackling that goes on in a bar room. It's very different. It's very sweet. It's very spiritual. It's very real. And people pick up on those kind of things and God moves in a way. I can remember being in services where preachers have preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with the specific intent of hoping that those who are lost would respond to the gospel. Special evangelistic services. And I can remember during the invitation, the pastor not being a pushy type of person, not trying to manipulate the crowd just to get the people to move, and just offering an invitation very gently in the very same way the Spirit of God does, and the singing being very moving and people singing a hymn that speaks of our need to surrender. And I can remember praying diligently and others praying while our heads were bowed that God would move in a very special way in the lives of some person who was lost there. And in a sense, even if you can imagine, as if you were wrestling with God in prayer the way that Jacob wrestled with that angel. Such an intensity in prayer at such a specific moment, and lots of people doing that at the same time, and then suddenly sensing that peace of God that passeth all understanding come over you with a sense that God has won a very special victory in the life of a person who was lost and held in bondage by the devil, and suddenly you look up and hear somebody moving down the aisle to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior, her Savior. I have seen that. I have been a part of that. God moves in a special way when there's preaching at a church service just like this, and when people then are literally made free by the Son of God. What a blessing. Amen. What a blessing. Listen, by inviting others, or by bringing somebody to Jesus, we're fulfilling God's purpose. By inviting them to church to bring them to Jesus, we're really putting them in the best environment, in the best place to hear the Word of God and really come to a place. Listen, can you imagine being lost here today, surrounded by all these Christians who've been praying for you? God just works in a very special way. And so that's a reason to do what Andrew did for Peter. I'll tell you something else. Inviting folks to church keeps the church healthy. You know, when you look back in the book of Acts, what do you notice about one of the characteristics of the early church? It's multiplying. You read in Acts chapter 2 and there's 3,000 souls added in one day. You read a little further and there's 5,000 souls added. You see this multiplication process go on. There's persecution that hits the church in Acts chapter 8 and people begin to spread out. And when they spread out, they don't just go hide under a rock and pretend like they were never associated with what God was doing back there in Jerusalem. They're just as vocal when they get to other cities like Antioch as they were back here, and God does the same thing in those other cities that he was doing back there. Why? Because a healthy body, a healthy church reproduces. Now, you don't see growth like that today like you did, but I can remember when I first entered the ministry, it was not uncommon for people to be saved on a regular basis in church services. I realize things have changed. People will say to you today, we can't grow much of a church because people don't want the Bible anymore. Yeah, there's some people who want the Bible today. Sure there are. That's what we're doing here. That's what we're doing here. And we didn't always want the Bible, did we? But boy, we want it today. Let me tell you something. There are other people that are just like us. And the church stays healthy as it grows. Listen, if I were standing here before you today in the same body that I had when I was 2 years old, you know, just having popped the pacifier out of my mouth and my little old hair all messed up and a little bitty old clothes on like that, you'd just think that's the nuttiest thing in the world. A man shouldn't be in his 60s and be little like that. And you know something? That's the same way it is with the body of Christ. It should not remain what it was when it was birthed. It is a body that should grow. That's what Ephesians says about the body of Christ. And how does it do that? By God adding more people to the Lord Jesus Christ who were brought to Jesus by those of us who know Jesus. Now today, what's happened, because we live in a society where you don't see the church growing, at least in the United States, the same way that it did decades ago, people have tried to manipulate that. They have tried through men's programs, they have tried through megachurch movements and things to sort of make it look like it did back in the old days. I think there's a reason why it doesn't look that way, and I think it has a lot to do with the fact that we're getting closer and closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's no reason for us to stop. People still get saved, and they need to get saved. And I'll tell you another reason. People are not as vocal about their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as they were decades ago. And I think that's probably because there's more distraction going on. We didn't have cell phones in the 60s and 70s. Today. And now those things have really changed the landscape. You'll see a husband and wife that haven't seen each other all day go to a restaurant, sit across from each other in a booth, and they're on their cell phones. And they've had those all day. And it's like, give it a break. Put it in the car. Look at each other and talk. What's wrong with you? And so we have become more isolated in our homes. People walk out into their car, which is inside of a garage, hit the button, the garage door goes up, they drive to work, park, jump inside the office, stay there, get back in the car, drive to a restaurant to meet the wife that they're not going to talk to, drive home, go inside, they'll turn the TV on and go to bed. Well, you don't have much opportunity. Back in the old day, we used to sit in each other's backyards and talk. And I'm not talking about something that happened around the time of the Depression. When there wasn't anything else to do. So I realize that there are a lot of things that have changed. But you know one of the things that's changed with all that? We don't tell them like we used to tell them. And I can remember when I was in college and I was in a First Baptist Church up there, and John Bassanio had recently become the pastor of that church. I remember when the deacons, the search committee, interviewed him. That church was downtown, and they just had people sitting on the floor of the auditorium. There was a huge balcony that could seat 1,500 or something like that. It's 700 people, something like that. Big old balcony up there. And so when they were interviewing him, they said, you know, we just have enough people come in to sit in here. We've been talking to an architect about how to enclose the space and put chandeliers and sconces and so forth like that. And since you're thinking about coming, what do you think about our plans? He said, close it up, my foot, fill it up. Fill it up. Put people in those chairs. And he got in there, started preaching and talked to people. I'm telling you, just the same way that I'm talking to you today, And back in the early 70s, and people went out and told their friends, you know what, we're downtown, you ought to come to church with us. And downtown wasn't a convenient place to drive. Everything was moving out past Loop 610. Now it's all the way to Sugar Land and the airport. But anyway, it was moving out like that, and people would drive into downtown to come. And they, you know what they did? They filled it up. Not only did they filled it up so much they had to go to 610 and I-10, buy a property, and build a whole brand new building. The thing grew way out like that. You say, how'd that happen? Listen, it was very simple. He brought him to Jesus. That's how it was done. He would offer an invitation. I remember him preaching on tithing one Sunday. I said, well, nobody's getting saved today. Matter of fact, we're going to have a reduction in church membership. He preached on tithing, offered an invitation. He and his song leader had such an unusual relationship, I mean, with each other and with the Spirit of God. That song was an invitation song about salvation. I mean, he put a little salvation thing on in that deal. Five people got saved that day. But I'm going to tell you why they got saved that day on a message on tithing. People had been dealing with those people individually, and then they brought them to church where they could hear about Jesus, and they got saved. And that doesn't happen much anymore. That doesn't happen much anymore. And so that's changed. Well, listen, we can't control the cell phone society. You can't control that. You can't control the technological society. Well, you can't control that. You can't control apostasy worldwide and how people have gotten away from it. You can't control that. But you can control the relationship you have with other people and tell them about Jesus Christ. That you can control. You as an individual can bring another individual to Jesus Christ. You can be used by God to do that. Listen, it's not work that we do. We're simply messengers. The mailman that delivers the mail to my house doesn't write the letters. He doesn't have to publish all those magazines. He doesn't have to do all that work. He just drops the stuff off and leaves. You know what we do when we bring somebody else to Jesus Christ? We just tell them what somebody else already wrote about him and something he already did. We don't have to do the work. We're just the mailmen. We just drop off the news. And believe it or not, there are some people who, after they hear that news, are very grateful that you told them about Jesus Christ. I know you come up with this great nightmare. Ooh, if I told them, they'll never be my friend for the rest of it. You don't know. They might be your friend for eternity. And right now, you only got them for a short while. If they die and go to hell and you die and go to heaven. Well, he brought him to Jesus. I hope when we go to sleep tonight, Lord, you will remind us in our minds and hearts these words. He brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. Really? He brought him to Jesus. You wake up in the morning and go, you know, I got to go bring somebody to Jesus. Why? Because it fulfills God's purpose. It's one of the best ways for them to come to Christ. It helps the church stay healthy because it provides for a growing body. And I'll tell you something else. It's a great way for them to get connected to the body. You know what we are right here by description now. When you're saved, you are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. That's what the Bible says. You become a member of His body. A little finger, a nose, a mouth, eyes, hair, ears. I have to say it, I do every time I mention this. Even warts. But you're still a part of the body, right? Somebody's got to be the belly button. All right? Somebody has to do that. All right, well, we're all members of that body, baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. Well, you know something? The best way in the world for a Christian who recently gets saved to start growing is for them to get connected to that body. Now, I've learned this. I like to do personal evangelism. Not everybody likes to do that, but I do like to do that. And it frustrates me when I get tied up in certain things in the ministry and don't get to do that as much as I want to. But it's always been there, and I like to do it. Love the outlet. Love to sit down with somebody and talk to them about Jesus Christ. Now, if I go to your house and I knock on the door, which we don't do much anymore, very rarely, but if we do that and talk to you, you know what? This is home delivery pizza. I have just brought the meal to your house. All right, so then I come to you and I say, you know, it'd be a good idea for you to come to church. No, you say, no, it'd be a good idea for you to come to my house and teach me the Bible. Because I've already gotten you used to just getting it all out there. Well, what I'm trying to say is when somebody gets saved here, they didn't get it by home delivery. They already had to make some effort to come hear the gospel. And there's a desire oftentimes to come back and hear more so you can grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you've already got somebody that's taken the time to drive all the way to church or come with you to church to meet you here, it's not asking too much for them to come back and hear more to help them grow and in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and I believe this is Bible, but my view of evangelism is this. They get saved and connected and are in church somewhere. Somewhere. Serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Somewhere. And out of our church here, over these 16 years of being together as a church, there are people that aren't here anymore because their jobs and life has moved them elsewhere. But may I tell you something? They're in church in other places. I remember a number of years ago, a young couple and two children started coming to church when we were in that building, heard us on the radio, and really took an interest in personal evangelism, telling other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was in, I think it's naval, like a nurse, okay? And so he would come, they'd hear all that, and we had emphasis, just like we are today, on telling other people about Jesus Christ. And they were with us for, what, 2 years, 2.5 years, something like that, when they had to go and were transferred to another city. And after they'd been gone for about a year, listen, he sent me an email back. He said, I thank God that He brought our family to your church for that period of time to learn these things about the Bible and about telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. When I got to our new orders and stationed at our new base, I met another fellow that believed that same stuff about the Bible. He and I have worked together, and I want you to know, he said, we've been keeping track of this during this last year, year and a half, whatever it was, and he said, there are 700 people who have heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because of what you and that church taught us to do while we were there. Isn't that a remarkable thing? You know what that is? You know what that is? That's somebody that took something like this, he brought him to Jesus, serious enough to believe that it was so, and went out and tried to go find it. He didn't say how many of those had gotten saved, but boy, that's some good seed sowing right there now. And that, you know what? It perfectly suited for that, because being a nurse, think of all those people that are in the military that he had regular contact with over all that time. That's where he was letting them know about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a marvelous thing. What a marvelous thing. And I could tell you many stories like that. I'm not trying to set him up as the standard. You're not any good unless you got 700 people you told about Jesus Christ. I'm just telling you that's how it goes. We hear, we go tell somebody else. And they come to church. You know, I still, Irene, can't get over the story about Terry. Remember that one so long ago, but their church was just struggling. Where are they? In North Texas, in that church? Huh? Trenton, Texas. Yeah, they were up there, and they had a little church out in the country, the Sunday night crowd was him and his wife and the preacher and his wife and, I don't know, a handful of other people. And Terry said, you know what? This is a shame. Our preachers work to get a message together. Nobody's here to hear it. We ought to go out and make sure that we get people in here next week. He said, we ought to fill this up so people can hear the preaching. And he said, I'm committed to do that. I'm going to go out and I'm going to get this. We're going to get some people in here next Sunday night. I'm going to tell you, that guy went out. Literally, everything he did that week involved telling somebody else, you need to be in our church Sunday night. Here's the address. And then he'd follow up with them. Terry's just that kind of guy. We don't have that all that personality. It's kind of like Milton. You got to have that personality, just get in their face, right? Huh? And he walked in there. He said, okay, you told me you're coming. Now I'm going to take this down. I want a commitment from you. You coming? I told you I'd be there. Okay, I'm writing your name now. Now, if you're not, I'm going to come back on Monday and I'm going to haunt you. Or however he put it. But they got the idea. It'd be a whole lot easier just to go and get this guy off our chest than have to see him the next week. Well, that's how he did it. Well, halfway, he told the preacher on Wednesday night prayer meeting, he said, now you guys, I want y'all to pray for all these people who said they'd be here Sunday. Well, when other people in the church heard that there were that many people who said they'd come, they went out and started asking other people. It was a motive for them. Well, that night, They got it. It was one of those times in the, you know, where it's not daylight savings time, so by the evening service, it's already dark enough people had to run their lights. He said it looked like a funeral procession. All you could see was a line of lights as far back as the exit off the road to get down that road. There were 100 people in that church that Sunday night. 100 people in that church that Sunday night. Had that happen? Somebody went out and just brought some folks to Jesus. Now, I don't hold him up as a standard. You just hadn't done any good unless you get 100 folks in here. Not holding him up as a standard. What I'm trying to say is, you know, if he could get 100, I believe we could get one. How do you do it? You just bring him to Jesus. You just go tell somebody, hey, we got a church service here. You want to come with us on Sunday? That's what he did, and it was just a Sunday night. That's kind of an unusual time for people to go to church. You know, there are great stories. There were people that got saved that night. The preacher didn't really think it was going to happen. When he saw what was happening, he went and got him a real sure enough message. I mean, really, you know, oh, ye of little faith. The way the story is told. Anyway, listen, there were people that got, there were testimonies from that night. One guy said, I was contemplating suicide, and when Terry came to me and asked me to come to church, I realized that I hadn't given God a chance, so I decided I'd come. And I've heard the gospel, I've gotten saved, and I'm not going to take my life. Another couple got up and said our marriage was on the rocks. We were done. We were getting ready to go see the lawyer. He came and talked to us about, we hadn't tried God. We thought we'd come in here. And we see, now that we're saved, that there's a hope through Jesus Christ. And then they started working on it the biblical way, and they saved their marriage. And there are testimonies like that from that one night, an off night, by one guy who just said, you know, I'm sick of coming up here on Sunday night and our preachers put a message together and there's nobody to hear it. Isn't that something? That's really remarkable. I tell that story because it encourages me. It encourages me this week, we've got 1 week left, that even just this week, we've got enough time to go tell somebody. That's all they had was a week from one Sunday night to the next. And God did all of that. Will they come just because you ask them? No, not necessarily. But they won't come for sure if you don't. And I'll say this finally. He brought him to Jesus. You know, who did he bring to Jesus? He brought Peter. You know, Peter brought a few people to Jesus too, didn't he? Matter of fact, he was the guy God used to preach that first sermon in Acts chapter 2. Inviting your friends is an encouragement to them to invite their friends. Because once they get what you and I have, they know a lot of people you don't know that need what we have. And once that thing starts, It's just very interesting because listen, this thing with Jesus Christ is real. Heaven is real. Salvation is real. The peace of God is real. The contentment and satisfaction in Jesus Christ is real. The provision of God is real. Living eternal life now is real. The joy of salvation is real. This is not manufactured. This is not played. This is not hyped up. We don't do a big stage concert up here and send you out and hope you can survive till next concert. This is the real deal, and it grows. Prayer is real. Answered prayer is real. And when people see something that's real and recognize it as real, it's hard not to at least want to tell somebody else about that. And it helps people to find something that's real. Listen, there are a lot of people who don't like church and don't like preaching because they grew up in a religion that wasn't real and they got turned off by it. And they've seen stuff on TV that is manipulative and fake and fraudulent. And so you come to that, I don't want to hear that. But boy, when they find something that's real, some of us felt the same way. They find something that's real and said, now that I will take. That I will take right there. Because Jesus is real. And boy, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we can be used by the Lord for this. You know, it's really funny. Let me just let you in on a little secret, and then we're gonna bring this to a close. I can't adequately explain to you, Randy can't adequately explain to you, Tony can't adequately explain to you how we prepare for preaching. I mean, first of all, we don't want you to know. Confirming witness. But I am absolutely convinced. Every time I stand here to preach, that God had the message and had it long ago. And it was a matter of getting the messenger prepared to give him the message to give to you. I believe that. This Sunday morning message, I was going through my normal preparation yesterday and doing Sunday school and all that, and I was not panicking about what to preach this morning. But I didn't know what to preach this morning. I knew God knew. And as the time went and I continued to pray for you and read the Bible and do all those things that are part of our preparation for preaching, the hour was getting closer and closer. And I'm the kind of guy that every time I stand in the pulpit to preach, I like to have something that God and I have hammered out together, that God has shown me in the Scripture. And there just wasn't anything coming. And I thought to myself, you know, there's something that I've already preached that doesn't need to be hammered out. It just needs to be preached again. And so I went to my file, and this is the message. It's very appropriate because of what's happening next week. But I say that to say this. I would have preached anything but this. But that's not what God wanted. I don't believe. I believe this is what He wanted preached. And the beauty of it is, as I said when we started, this message is so simple, the youngest of us in the Lord can do this. And this message is so profound that if you've been saved 60 years and have had a very fruitful ministry of leading others to the Lord Jesus Christ, this message fits you perfectly. It's not over any of us or beneath any of us. It's just what we all need. I need that reminder that you've heard today just as much as you do. What's the verse? John chapter 1, verse 42. He brought him to Jesus. If God would impress upon me in the preparation for today to preach this message, do you believe, I believe this, do you believe that God can establish divine appointments for you in talking to somebody else about Jesus Christ? You know what I'm talking about. Where when you are thinking, I've been praying for that neighbor over there, I was praying for old Jimmy, you're going to go outside and Jimmy's going to be standing out there in the yard. That's what's going to happen. And the Spirit's going to go, now's your chance. And you go, yeah, but I got something else I got to do. I really got to go to the hardware store. If I don't do this, we won't have lights tonight. And the Lord would go, get over there. And you're like, And the honest truth is, that thing goes off in every person's heart. That reluctance. You just go over there and talk to Jimmy and say, Jimmy, you know what? I've been praying for you. We got a service at the church tomorrow next Sunday on Easter Sunday, 10:30. Why don't you come go to church with me? And put the ball in his court. The preparation of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. I believe God's already preparing hearts of people that you and I know, and all he's waiting on is somebody to bring them to Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. I really, really do. You won't be talking to people that'll slam doors in your faces and ridicule you for being a Jesus freak. You're not going to get that. You know what you're going to get? You're going to get somebody to say, you know, I appreciate that. I'm already going somewhere else. I appreciate that. Somebody's going to say, you know what? I'll be there. And the feeling that's going to come over you when you're sitting there with one of your friends that you invited to church and they respond to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will be unlike anything you've ever experienced in your life. Jesus is the hero of this story, but Andrew's a close second. He brought him to Jesus. Would to God that God would use us to bring somebody to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to hear such a simple, and yet profound message. The heads of our folks are bowed today. My head is bowed before you today, Father, and I'm simply asking you to do something. Would you stir our hearts by your Holy Spirit to take this message and put it into practice? To just do what you showed us to do. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I want in the worst way to say, how many of you are committed to go ask somebody? I'm not going to do that to you. But you know what you should do between you and Jesus Christ? You should say that to him. Lord, I am committed this week to being used by you, if you'll have me, to tell some other folks, to come hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be used like Andrew was to bring another person to Jesus. Please use me. That'd be an excellent prayer to pray during this invitation. Now, I didn't preach the gospel today, so I just want to say, if you came here today hoping to hear the gospel because you don't know Jesus Christ, you can still hear the gospel before you leave here today. Randy Knuppel, our associate pastor, is in the back. He would gladly show you the gospel. Just in a few minutes, you could see how you can receive Jesus Christ. So I have to say, is there anybody here today that would like to see the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to know how to be saved? If you are, would you raise your hand? I want to just make sure you and Randy get together. Okay. Just wanted to be sure. Now listen, this message was for saved people, for the Andrews amongst us. God used us as a church, individually and as a church, to be used by you this week to bring somebody to Jesus. I pray, Heavenly Father, you'll accomplish that in our lives. And not for us to be embarrassed in case we've asked some people and they don't come, but just to try. And I pray, Father, we'll be surprised at how many divine appointments you've already established just waiting for your people to go and ask another person to come. Come and be used by the Lord. I pray you will accomplish that great work in our lives, for we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.